trying to plug the oil gush.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Construction workers today are moving forward on their next plan to stop the leaking oil well in the Gulf of Mexico. Crews are building a 100-ton containment dome. They hope it can be dropped on the seabed later this week. Hopefully that would stop the leak and what it's doing to the environment down there. In addition to the damage to wildlife, the spill is also having a huge impact on Washington. Marketplace's Brett Neely joins us live from our Washington studio this morning. Hi, Brett.
Hi, Steve.
So how is this spill in the Gulf reaching all the way to Capitol Hill?
Well, one casualty of the spill may actually be the climate bill moving through the Senate. Senators have been negotiating a way to reduce greenhouse gas emissions for months. And to get Republican support, one of the bargaining chips was incentives for offshore oil and gas exploration. I mean, that was one reason why President Obama had made that big announcement about expanding offshore drilling last month. This spill has totally altered those delicate negotiations and may sink the bill.
All right, so let me see if I understand this. An oil spill that it may wreck the chance of a bill that was trying to cut oil use?
Yeah, exactly. Because after this spill, some of the Senate Democrats who had been on board with that climate plan now say there's no way they can support a bill that expands drilling. I mean, Bill Nelson of Florida has even threatened a filibuster if the bill includes offshore drilling. But if drilling isn't in the bill, it's really hard to see how it's going to draw much Republican support. Republican Senator John Kyle described the bill as a three-legged stool. One leg was more oil and gas drilling, another was more nuclear power, and the third was cutting CO2 emissions. And he said the spill at least temporarily knocks one of those legs off of the stool.
So what if the stool falls and then there's no climate bill this year?
Well, the big issue here, aside from slowing global warming, obviously, is that many companies just want to know how they're going to be affected by a climate bill. Many industries, and think especially here of like the electric power producers, have been asking for clarity from the government for years. I mean, it does take years and sometimes decades to invest in and build new factories and power plants. And without a climate bill, it's going to be really hard for them to plan ahead.
Marketplace's Brett Neely with us live from our Washington studio. Brett, thanks.
Thank you.
Let's check some numbers. Yeah, European markets are tanking right now, mostly off a percent or more. And Greece's aid is still weighing on the minds of investors there and in Asia. Asian shares mostly fell back today, although Chinese stocks managed a small gain, under a percent. Wall Street yesterday, a big sell-off. The Nasdaq shed nearly 3%. The Dow gave back 225 points to close under 11,000, 10,926 to be exact. And just to show how volatile things have been, yesterday was the fifth time in 6 days the Dow rose or fell by triple digits. The state of Ohio has an unemployment rate of 11%, but voters there have just okayed a ballot initiative they think could help lower it. Reporter Bill Cohen has the story.
For the last 5 years, Ohio's government has borrowed $500 million and funneled it to emerging high-tech businesses that seem to be on the verge of taking breakthroughs in the lab and applying them to new products. An independent study showed the Third Frontier program had helped create more than 50,000 new jobs. Using that as a sales pitch, backers of the program have now convinced Ohio voters to renew it for another 4 years. That way, Ohio can borrow another $700 million. Ohio Development Director Lisa Pat McDaniel says a who's who of movers and shakers endorsed the campaign.
Republicans, Democrats, liberals, conservatives, everybody backing it because there's nothing partisan about good jobs for Ohioans.
The only critics were free market economists and activists in the Tea Party movement, but they never mounted an organized Vote No campaign. In Columbus, I'm Bill Cohen for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents, offering a choice of companies and coverage. You can find a local agent at 1-800-WE-INSURE. By Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to hold meetings online to collaborate in real time. More at GoToMeeting.com/market. And by Constant Contact, working to help small businesses understand what social media can do for them. Learn more at ConstantContact.com/social media.
Every year, New York University's Stern School of Business gives out $175,000 in prize money for particularly good business plans. This year, the winners are creators of a website that aims to sell high fashion at low prices. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports they're catching on to a fast-growing trend.
Melanie Moore and Suzanne Greenfield are just 25 years old. They met while they were interns on the capital markets desk at Merrill Lynch. Now they're launching a handbag and accessory auction site called To Vie For, expected to be up and running in June. Here's co-founder Melanie Moore.
We got the idea for To Vie For by combining the kind of best concepts of two very different but highly successful e-commerce businesses.
Those businesses being Gilt Group and Swoopo. Gilt offers designer clothes at a discount through sales that are only open for a short time. Swoopo is a fee-based auction site. As Moore's co-founder Suzanne Greenfield explains, the way forward in online shopping is all about the fun.
People talk about how exciting it is, and they move their lunch meetings just to make sure they can log on to the sale. So with our business model, we're kind of playing on that aspect that women love. Women get really excited. It's about the chase. It's about the game.
Greenfield says To Vie For won't require a membership, as Gilt does, but it will charge users a small fee to participate in auctions. Call it eBay 2.0, says retail analyst Patty Edwards with Storehouse Partners.
When you're looking at retail, there are three things. It's having the right item at the right price with the right shopping experience.
And Edwards says as more and more retail shoppers go online for their purchases, the experience part of that equation is becoming more important. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
And finally, a Picasso fetched $106 million at Christie's auction house yesterday. His painting, Nude, Green Leaves, and Bust, set a record for art sold at auction. The Picasso's buyers were anonymous. The artist created the work in one day back in 1932. A couple decades later, the piece sold for just under $20,000. And if you do the math, that is 5,000 times yesterday's return. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.